Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925 KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Yes, welcome to Elder Care Radio. You know, it's a new year. We're excited to be here. We weren't here last week. There was a pre-recorded message. We probably didn't even mention that. But
you didn't need to mention that. Good morning, everyone.
It is exciting, and it's great to be here, and we appreciate it. And in this new year, we could talk about resolutions, but I don't know why. That is such an overworked topic.
We're going to break them anyway? Is that what you're saying?
You're either going to keep them or break them. You've already made that decision and followed through.
The 11th of January, so many resolutions have already been squashed.
Yeah, so, and we support you in whatever you've done or plan to do. We will do that. This new year is probably a great time to look back and reflect on what's happened in the past and maybe gather those stories and, you know, the good times and the bad times.
We learn from the bad times. So the bad times are good times.
We really are. I mean, you do learn from the hard times. And many times those are the memories that stick with us the most, the ones that we can share that have the most meaning. Having overcome bad times is an incredible opportunity. This kind of comes up because a few weeks ago we were talking to a gentleman and he was explaining to me that every year for the past 40 years he has done a year-end review of his life, his family's life, and
really,
and he's kept that and shared it with his kids, and every year he writes another one, and
so he writes it down in paragraph form.
Kind of in a book, similar to what a lot of families do, where they do a year-end in recap review for Christmas.
Oh, like
cards.
A Christmas letter, okay.
Right, but this one's a little bit more in depth. It's more of a diary or a dictorial of the events that have happened throughout the year.
Really, just a journal, right? It's
right, a journal entry, yeah.
And I bring that up because my daughter is a journaler.
Daily. Right?
Yeah, every day. I mean, she made the commitment early in life, and she's been doing that, and I really respect that. And
I do, too. I have a lot of respect for it because she did not get that from me.
And my imagination doesn't even allow me to think that I could do that. I mean, I don't have a big enough imagination for that. So, there's just no way that I'm going to journal every day and write that stuff down. But what he was telling me, we can go back through that and remember the year that something happened and some of the details because – they've kept that. And I think once a year might be something I could do.
Yeah, that's a target we can do.
Now, I don't have a journalism degree, so I don't know that I'm capable of doing it. Andy, do you know anybody with a journalism degree?
I have a journalism degree.
Yeah.
I
do, yeah. So do you think that's something that you could actually take on?
Absolutely not.
Really? Just one time, sit down, and if it's just a page, write a one-page review of the year, but if it gets longer than that, don't feel bad.
I'm really good at writing about other people, but I'm not very good about writing about myself.
Oh. Andy, with all the technology we have today, you could just tell your story and have
that I could do. I could dictate it, yeah.
There absolutely. The technology's there. So
and
if you
then
can dictate
just
it.
Print it out and put it in a book so that the family has a history log. I think that that's really important. Some of the big events we don't forget, right? Like we know when COVID hit and how that spun the entire country out of control, right? Mm-hmm. So those are kind of timelines because we existed here and lived through it that might really make an impact that lasts, that we remember. But so often those small details, my heck, I forget my birthday sometimes, right? Like I have to think, okay, wait a second. It's important to log those things. And I think we all know that. And since journaling becomes kind of daunting and overwhelming, I think that sometimes we just write it off or dismiss it as that's an impossible task, so I'm just not even going to put that out there. But could we do one time a year?
Did you do baby books when your kids were little?
Are you calling me out on
We have baby books.
Radio?
You have they're empty.
and they're in pristine condition.
I can mint. Regift them.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say what's really cool is we went through some of our baby books from when our kids were little and we read things and we're like, I don't remember that. That is so cool.
And honestly, I'm preaching without, taking my own advice because I have every book and I really had great intentions. I'm not making excuses. I worked full time while I was raising kids. And honestly, I had great intentions and never did it. And I feel bad about it. The reason we're doing this today is because we believe that it's never too late. Mm-hmm. And here I am, an old lady now, and I need to even go in the books and really write what I do remember before that's gone. That's been one of the things that we've tried to encourage families who are dealing with chronic or terminal illnesses to do, to sit with their loved ones and gather stories. And we have, you know, created a, we have a book, and we created a list of questions that prompt stories. You will never have a story retold about you like one of your parents will tell it. Just hearing it in their voice and in their, and when I say their voice, even in writing, that's the way that they speak, right? You can hear them as they speak to you. And having those stories in a journal of some kind, whether it's an audio or a written template of your life experiences, or sharing those stories about your children or siblings or life growing up, will have such huge meaning and impact on your family in years to come.
So we would encourage everybody to do that. You mentioned, you know, COVID. That's 3 years ago. And I think we can all look back on our lives and say, man, before COVID, maybe I remember some stuff. Since COVID, I think everything is very clear. Now, it's not because of COVID. It's because it's recent.
Right.
But wouldn't it make sense to get that record down there so that you can go back and review it? And I think for those people who journal, they can tell you all the time that it is great to go back and read those stories. And instead of making it an overwhelming task of trying to write something down every day and finding meaning in every moment, at least find the meaningful moments and memorialize those, so that you can share those with family and relive some of those things. Even in hard times, if we can relive good times, it makes life easier. So,
and I'll mention it so I don't forget it. There is another option, too. I don't think we have to give up the annual journaling of events. But you can also just do a daily gratitude journal where all you do is just write five positive things that happened, or five things that happened. You could say, you know, a grandbaby was born today. Or you could even say, you know, my son got in a car accident today, and fortunately no one was hurt. Like, you know, just five events.
Or I got a good parking spot.
How about that? Yeah, I got a great parking spot.
That's happened to me a couple of times, and I've really appreciated it. So I think, you know, I would be thankful for that. So it's been 3 years since COVID, almost 3 years, and it's been almost 3 years since Elder Care Radio came on the air. Those corresponded, and so we wanted to kind of talk about that, you know, why are we here and what did we start with? Because we started this program at the beginning of COVID because it was the only way to let the community know that we were changing the image of hospice in Southern Utah.
It was a great way to let the community know.
It really was, and we came into it kicking and screaming and trying to claw our way out of it. But you know, it has been such a blessing for us, and we've really appreciated that.
And it's so fun for us each time someone calls and says, "Oh, I heard you on the radio," or "Is that you talking with Andy on Wednesday mornings?" It's kind of fun for us. Sometimes I'm just like, "Oh no, yes, that's us." No, so, that's my evil twin sister, Sabrina.
And the deal is, we've learned from our own experiences and from conversations we've had with people in the community that the experiences haven't always been positive. You know, hospice was about dying and dying too quickly. I mean, just to be completely honest, it was, you know, people would be referred to hospice and then they would almost immediately pass away, because hospice was about, in quote, making patients comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But that was interpreted to medication at the end.
Give them some drugs and they die.
Yeah, yeah, let's just medicate them to the end. Right. And let's help them pass peacefully, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those were the catchphrases and the watchwords for hospice. And that is not what hospice was intended to be. That was, you know, that was what was so so disturbing for us when we came to Southern Utah and experienced hospice. And so we wanted to change that. Because hospice is an opportunity to live. It's bringing the care into the home that allows for better quality of care and more appropriate care, so that people can focus on living and enjoying life and bringing those great opportunities. The opportunity to have family get together and become functional, with the idea that life is going to end, right? I mean, we can get a...
For all of us, I think that's the important thing. I think in many countries, America included, it's almost taboo to talk about death. Birth is a beautiful thing, and we talk about it all the time. But isn't death also one of the guaranteed things that's going to happen to us? Mm-hmm. And I think if we were a little more comfortable with the concept, not that we all want to die, but it's talking about it and getting over the fear of saying death that I think really allows us to live more fully. When we're afraid of every action we take is resulting in, you know, death, then we forget about the positive things that allow us to enjoy life and live.
Well, and it brings up a country song, you know, my mind just kind of popped up, you know, live like you're dying. You know, once we have that knowledge that life is short, you know, and it's been confirmed because now we see, you know, what's going to be taking us out, so to speak. It does give us that opportunity to really focus on the things that matter and try and develop a meaningful end, to, you know, final chapter to our life. Not to be surprised by it or to just wait till the end. You know, it's not 16 blank pages at the end of our book that didn't have anything meaningful. It's that opportunity to really fill those pages in with something important.
And did you know, Andy, a good palliative program, such as one that Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care has developed, actually extends life. Now, because I didn't think about saying that on the radio today, I didn't go back and confirm the exact number, but it's somewhere in the 80s to 90s, like high 80s to 90s. Statistically, a good palliative program extends life. So what's the fear of finding out how you can be benefited by a program that brings so much stress relief and help? It's incredible how many times we meet with families and they think, gosh, I wish I would have called you. They say to us, they verbalize, if I would have called you 3 months ago, 4 months ago, my life would have been so much easier. And so even if you're not prepared for the program, you should consider giving our office a call just so that you understand what programs are available free to you through your Medicare benefit. So at 100%, you know, no cost to the beneficiary. It's the one thing Medicare really tried to do right. They just haven't been great about the implementation. But that's why we're here. We're trying to get other companies to follow suit. Right now, we're the only one offering an expanded palliative care program. But hopefully, things will change in the near future.
And our journey through this, you know, we had two hospice experiences. The first one, three, but the first hospice experience was we knew absolutely nothing about hospice. And we went on, and we were amazed at the variety of services and the importance of some of those services that were available to us. And then we came here to Southern Utah with that understanding of hospice, only to find that Southern Utah has a totally different understanding of hospice. And we went back to the Medicaid to the end. You know, let's let them help pass comfortably as soon as possible, it seemed. And that was really hard for us. And so it was a big journey for us to go through that and figure out why it was and how it was missing. And we tried to explain it to other hospice companies and say, hey, it should be more There's like this more. Over here. And along that journey, we came to understand what palliative care could be. And that was a big turning point for us because that really was the defining factor in how do we go about that. And once every hospice company said, no, we don't really want to do that. We're happy with, you know, just keeping it simple for us. You know, we ended up starting a company, which was not our intent here in Southern
but
Utah.
But has been the biggest blessing.
It really has. You know, it's given us fulfillment and opportunity, and we really appreciate that. So the palliative care part of that was really the key that made this something that could be explained and understood and that we can share with the community and make work. So we were the first to offer palliative care, and we're still the only ones that provide an extensive palliative care array. So we're excited to do that. And it's interesting when we talk about hospice, every hospice company fulfills the minimum Medicare standard. They couldn't provide hospice if they didn't. But those minimum standards aren't the entire picture of what hospice could be.
Not at all.
And so
it's
want,
not enough.
Yeah. And so there's more available, and you need to understand that, and you need to advocate for yourself to get more.
The minimum standards are probably, in my estimation, what causes people the fear of hospice, thinking that, yes, they will medicate you and keep you comfortable, but maybe you're not quite there yet. Maybe you're not ready to be made so comfortable that you fall asleep. Yeah. You know, so maybe it's just giving you medication to take the edge off of your pain so that you can enjoy every breath of life with your family. And when you do that, of course, you know, life becomes more fulfilling. You're no longer in pain. You no longer feel like a burden to your loved ones. You feel like you can exist in the world and enjoy every moment that you're there. Question, who is palliative available to?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. Palliative care, and we're going to go into that a little bit, but it's available to everyone.
Right.
And it may be available
at every age.
Yeah, at any age. And it may be available for free through Medicare and Medicaid if you happen to have certain conditions that lead up to that.
I think there should be a little heavier emphasis on that. So palliative is available to everyone. For children, Medicaid, disability, and children's insurance benefits cover a lot of palliative care. All those extra things where they help the families. You see a lot of advertisements on the TV about how, for instance, St. Jude's, they helped our family, they put us up and gave us a place to stay, they helped reduce stress. That's the kind of program that we're talking about. And it's available for free through your Medicare benefit once you're eligible under hospice terms. But people have a hard time understanding what palliative is. It's all those things. It encompasses all those things that make life easier to live, that help you navigate through a very difficult medical crisis with all the support and necessities covered.
So we've been changing that image. And in fact, the first brochure that we ever produced was called What Hospice Could Be. And that was really the start of this, where we were trying to explain palliative care a little bit. We tried to introduce that. But interestingly, you know, we talked about in the beginning of that brochure the minimum Medicare standard. And within about, you know, the size of a paragraph, we listed all that was available. And that's what everybody offers. And normally everybody's brochure tries to expand that into, you know, everything. But then we started talking about the added features and benefits. And at the time, we've grown quite a bit in our understanding of palliative. We started with the idea that, well, palliative is some extra services, and we listed some of those. We listed, you know, pet therapy and aromatherapy and music therapy, and those are therapies that have been proven to improve people's lives, right? And that's great. Interestingly, that's not something that most people tend to choose.
Although we have had a few people that absolutely love the pet therapy. And
right.
We have a patient right now taking advantage of pet therapy.
But if that was the total definition of the services we provided, we would be not fulfilling the needs of the community, because most people, once they understand what palliative care can be, once they open up their mind to the idea that there is no limits, you can choose almost anything you want, then they start picking things that are significantly more important for them. And that's, you know, that's kind of where we've gone. Now, certainly massage therapy. We do a lot of massage therapy. We've got two massage therapists. We keep them very busy, because that is something that a lot of people, and not everybody, but a lot of people really find can help relieve pain or reduce anxiety, or even just give them, you know, real personal touch and to feel that compassion and things like that. So it's been a great opportunity. But when we start talking to people and explaining what hospice could be and what palliative care, the potential for that, people really, if given an opportunity, can find some unique things. And we are learning every day new things that people can choose for palliative care. And so it's exciting for us, because we are bringing on new things. And it could be hyperbaric oxygen, or what are some of the other?
Well, interesting. We've had we had this one gentleman that his palliative was having somebody come to him, his home, help push him in his wheelchair out to his garage, where he would tell in very great detail about all of these cars that he had either rebuilt or refurbished so that they were like new again. And he could spend hours talking about that. And his kids just, quite frankly, either didn't have the time or had heard the story so many times that they wanted somebody new to come listen to Dad. But the amount of joy that that brought him, and actually that it brought the caregiver too, they just really found a tremendous bond in my caregiver and listening to the stories of this patient. And that was his palliative. So we literally would send caregivers in for, I think it was 8 hours a week that they would go in and just spend time with Dad talking about his past, his wartime, and where his hobbies led him. For women, it's often the manicures and the pedicures, and would you curl my hair and do my makeup and make me feel pretty? Help me to feel pretty again. Those are huge things to some people. And we, of course, do, you know, shave and style, you know, men's hair as well. But sometimes it's just that really, really, those extra little things that make us feel special. Or housekeeping, that's a good one, too. Well,
and that's important to understand, that palliative care works at a different level, but it works. If it helps lift somebody's spirit, if it helps them feel better about themselves and enjoy the day, then though that is a very powerful part of our healing process, of our ability to function. So while there are some traditional therapies that would be considered palliative, and all of them have a place, we are just constantly surprised and amazed at how powerful it can be once people have the power to choose their own. So those were some of the great things that that have happened in the past. So what we're looking at is trying to figure out for everybody what their palliative is. What is it that is going to be the thing that brings you joy for as long as you live? Now, you don't have to wait until you have a terminal condition to choose to try and do palliative things. We are really trying to enrich everybody's life at all levels. So if you can qualify for palliative care under the Medicare benefit and it costs nothing, that's great. But if there are things that you really enjoy that would make your life more fulfilling, we really encourage you to try and do those things. On the other options, technology is great, right? Unless you don't understand technology. And there are plenty of people in this community that don't have that. And so the idea, and you can imagine, well, if, you know, grandma can talk to the grandkids and her children, that would be great. And FaceTime's available, unless they don't know how to manage FaceTime. And so we actually have gone out and helped people set that up so that they can have that communication, because that then gives them a feeling that that day was a great day. And if today was a great day, tomorrow might be a great day too. And again, those are healing aspects. So we really like to link those people together. Or for families that are a little bit concerned, being able to put cameras in the patient's home so that they can make sure that they're, that they haven't fallen, you know, that they're active and things like that. If they're remote, those are things we've done in the past. So it's exciting to know that we are making changes in people's lives, and we're happy that we've been here on the radio to do it. So I'm just, my mind is rushing with all of the different aspects of palliative care and how that applies.
And so you turn to me.
Yeah, I'm just going to turn to you. And
well, I think the important thing is to remember that while we might list some things, and it's very difficult to put in a brochure because everybody's palliative is very, very different, right? Yeah. So we've talked about a few things. We've identified a few things that we've come across. But in the end, if there's something that is really, really important to you, if it is, help with putting together a family gathering that would be videotaped, then that's a palliative that we would love to be a part of. If it's putting together a birthday party for your mom, who is the patient, as little surprise gathering with all the family coming together, then that's your palliative and we want to help you with that. It can be just literally anything. It can be taking grandpa to a baseball game. I know one story that I absolutely love. The lady who's was very, very young and passing of a very aggressive cancer, and she and her daughter had watched the first Top Gun together, and her daughter wanted to watch the new Top Gun movie with her mom. So scheduling a meeting or a time for the nurse to go with her to the movie theaters, it's palliative.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, their most important palliative is to share that comfort with their family. And so they try and, they will have massages for their caregivers and things like that.
Thank you for being here, everyone. Yeah. We look forward to speaking with you next week.